Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about podcasts while driving. Oh, I don't know if there's, I've got something like seven podcasts in the breach on the computer, and of course what happened is I got ready to edit a few of them and began listening to a few to get sure that I got the right titles correctly, because I had actually completely forgotten about one podcast I gave last night. So what happened is last night I went on a 3-hour exercise walk. Now that may sound excessive, but if you've got a location to get to and it takes 3 hours, it used to take me 5 hours, okay, when I was sick. It still takes 3 hours. You're not walking slowly, but you're not walking incredibly quickly. I suppose I should really set myself a goal. So what you do is you podcast during that, and then you just, as you podcast, you know, things come to your head and you hope it's okay. So going through that, and I'll add this to the mix. And of course, all the time I'm struggling with sound quality, and of course, with the NBN coming in, the National Broadband Network, when in a few months' time, as we get connected up to optical fibre, I'll be able to go, what the heck? No, I'm not. At the moment, I have to cut down the file sizes and sort of modify the quality of it. So that's one aspect. I can instantly get an instant kick in a few percent in quality, and obviously it means that you side get it going across. And I think as last night I talked about the concept up to product prototype. So at the moment I'm building the product of the Einstein de Haas pendulum, and it's a bit of a wild child to get in that last couple of steps. And I began to mount the side laser. So the laser comes in, hits the side of the pendulum, and you can see the laser sweep back and forth. And there's these 87 cent lasers, quite reasonably good. And I was sort of basically going to remount a laser. I had mounted a laser on a bit of pool. It sounds stupid, but the handles of pool chlorine are very thick, so you can cut that out and you've got a nice thick piece of plastic. And I decided I'm going to mount it for the final version on a Edwin's Scientific kinematic mount. So it's two little knobs, you can actually position the laser, hold it out back a little bit. And to do this, the lasers cost 87 cents, and I thought, they're brilliant, and you open them up, they're brilliant, and you know, what could possibly be wrong with them? And I'm just going down to a medical medical appointment, so we'll get going, and I'm just filling in this background. So you get across it, and you know, the lasers, you get a sense that, you know, it just wasn't as bright as it used to be, and then put on a new laser, and boy, it's a huge brightness. And so the thing is, the answer, the $64 million, the 80 cent question is that if you buy an 80 cent laser, it may not have the lifetime, the hundreds and thousands of hours lifetime of a properly built laser. That's the story. That's why they're so cheap, because, well, they don't all have a lifetime. So what essentially you have to do is you've got to buy a packet of them, put them all up, and have them and monitor their lifetime, because I burn them in, which is sort of like, oh, there's a big military vehicle. It looks like an amphibious engineering vehicle. Now, I just sort of know where this is here. So, and then obviously hooking up, so that's okay. And then there's this other U-Boot thing, is the breadboard connectors. Breadboard connectors are so fine, so nice. So there's several things that one wants to go around. Banana plugs of schools have had their day. You know, they're thick, they're stupid. They do have the advantage that you can twist them. They've got, you put them in. And so perhaps one should go, rather than banana plugs, phono jacks should be the way of doing things, because they're equivalent to banana plugs, but smaller, and cheaper. You know, banana plug is expensive, and if you teach, and as I'm beginning to learn, soldering up is a really good thing, and putting, you really want, for a school cable, you want it fully student-proof. So you want the full thing. You really want a phono jack. And in fact, what you could do is purchase in phono jacks, and because they're there, and you just get two wires for the price of one. Everything is really nice and solid. The entire thing with cabling is going to be pulled out, and it's going to be in the environment. Sort of customer side cabling has to have strain relief in it, because people will do it, and eventually you don't see it, but over a long time, say if you've got hundreds of these, one will break and you just can't have it there. So this is one of the really awful things, is that after you use these breadboard wires, so these breadboard wires with a single male or female end to it, after you use it for a while, they get weak, and basically they're throwaway items. So they are cheap, they're throwaway, and they can't crimp. Now, the thing that is designed to last, obviously, is the auto connector. Those spade connectors, and they're designed to plug together and be vibrated, and they do have basically the strain relief, because it's a solder, but then there's crimps, and it crimps over the installation, so that acts as strain relief. So, but then you can't have a very compact system. So ultimately, the ultimate connection device for multiple wires is micro USB. We still really don't have a school grade connection device, which is universally, I would say, beside the phono jack, replacing the so a phono jack is like the phone. You have phone jacks to your smartphone, your earplugs, that goes in like that, compared to your, if you can remember at school, the big ones. And now, of course, the big one, they are continuously breaking, and they're thick, and they're heavy, and they're easy to identify. I don't know, like, I really find they're just nightmare material. So if I come across as we do here. So I've swapped out the laser, mounted a laser, and because it's got a strong mount, and I've held it back so you can actually adjust the focus. And so there's this little lens, it's 87 cents, and there's a lens in it, reasonably good lens, and you can actually get it to focus into a fine point. There is something about the laser pointing, and so I'm on the way to getting this produced. The other, I suppose, it's a small point, is using super glue. Now, super glue, you just, oh no, but super glue, when it's got a nice flat surface, oh, and also using the engraver with the grinder thing. So the grinder, there's a little sort of, it's like some sort of pumice or something like that, but a bit heavier. It's a cylinder which spins at high speed, and you can use that just come off around here, to scrape off. And how we're doing? We're doing reasonably well for time. You can use this to remove the enamel, and there's nothing, there's really nothing which removes enamel like this. And also, if you want to trim down a PCB board, this is your little boards. So nowadays, you don't get chips and components, you buy boards, and the board, the micro components are on the board. And in this case, with the laser, I wanted the lasers mounted on a fairly big chunky board, and I wanted to reduce that, so you just use that device to come down. And of course, the stripping of wires. So obviously, as I've said, the PCB breadboard connectors, jumper leads, as I suppose you'd call, they're just a complete crap after a while. They just fall apart. If you've used them for 3 or 4 projects, they just get really sloppy and loose. And so I've had to directly solder that in. Now, the directing soldering, there's just a small thing that you've got ribbon wire and you want to get your tweezers or your wire cutters in to do it. If you've got your classic wire cutters, I think I'd almost forget. Oh, here we go. I'd forget doing it because it's your classic wire cutters, which are just like scissors. The best wire cutters are sort of nibbler cutters, so the actual blades come down like a pair of teeth opposite each other. I've got one of those tools, one of my favourite tools. But the idea is, how do you get that tool into your ribbon to break your ribbon apart? So traditionally people get a little scalpel and just nick it and then they pull it across. But the art there is that you get the tool in and you close it very gently and you wiggle it. And so what wiggle the ribbon wire, and what it does is it settles in such that the teeth are just between the two rows of wire. So this is wire insulated where I think there's 16 or something like that all in a row. I don't know, some odd number in actual fact. I think it might be 23 or something stupid like that. And so you wheel it and it will self-align in such that it's sitting over the gap between, and then close it, and then that just separates the two nice and cleanly. Then you so I'm just going in here. This may actually take me a little bit of time. I may be a little bit rushed for time here. I've just on it now. I've just got to really remember. My wife gave me this whole list of things to do. I was let's get going. I really wasn't listening, so I just have to really push in this. And with all these medical things, you hope it's possible. Cap off the rackets, they find nothing, or they find something that's treatable. What you don't want them to do is find something which gets you going back for more and more things, and they, like a rabbit hole, they just go through. I think I'm through that place at the moment. Okay, so we're putting this laser on, getting a strip of ribbon wires. So it's 33. Use this tool. You wiggle the tool in, click it, and then you can rip off your cable. Then what you want to do is wire strip your cable. Now this is the first time I've used this technique, and I think it's like gorgeously fantastic. But I don't know. I've had the first time where it hasn't worked exactly the way I wanted. And that is that you strip such that the coating is not pulled straight off. So the claws go in, hold it, then the teeth, the blades come down either side, nick it, and then once it's nicked, draw back. And you make the drawback so that it's cabling, the insulation doesn't come off the wire completely. And if the insulation isn't off the wire completely, you then have something nice and big to grab the wire, and then you just rotate that at really high speed. And what happens is that wire twists. It rotates, wraps around each other. So the problem is that if you've got loose wire, okay, mate, if you've got loose wire, you've got a wire which is multi-strand, and you bump that, those strands are going to fly everywhere. You want the strands to actually be twisted around each other, so it forms sort of like a cabley rope. And then once you get that, I still haven't got the tool that I really want for this. This is, I've got some pliers, but I don't have some very fine pliers, which I want here. Surprisingly, I'm not going to have very much time for this. Now the thing is that you then get your wire and hook, and you're going to solder down. And what you want to do is have a little blob of solder at the end. So what you do is you cook a little eyelet, if that makes sense, a little circle of wire. Now, just what are you going to do, mate? You can't get through in here. So I'm in an underground car park, should I say, and it says there's, oh, bloody hell, hope there's heaps of car spaces. It's 10 o'clock on a Thursday morning, and, you know, it's okay around Christmas time for the car park to be full, but I'll be shocked what's happening to the Australian economy you guys should all be walking here, leaving spaces for me, and indeed there are some spaces here. So I'm going to have to love you and leave you here. So you get your wire, you put it in a little tiny hook, then you put your solder on that, and the solder will wet and form a little drop of solder properly inside the wire. It's a well-defined thing. Okay, I'm just going in here to park away. Oh, God, I see that's a person taking risks. Thanks a lot for listening. That's a little bit of a random update, just giving you techniques as I build it. And you know what? I've built up skills from been taught by old guys, and somehow, as I'm sort of microscopically problem solving, it goes up. And the interesting thing about problem solving skills is that if you problem solve it yourself, you remember that skill. I don't quite know what's going on there. Okay, thanks a lot for listening. Bye. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.